Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
All right, I want to start by reading from the book of Hebrews chapter 6, already from verse 11. It said, "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Then that's the text of what we want to discuss today. Now, we have been speaking about what we called building a great future today. Let me explain once again that we chose that title with the emphasis on the word today, because a great future is built not when you get to the future, but today. That if you are going to step on cool grounds tomorrow, it is today that you will throw cold water ahead of you. That the things that you meet up in life later, maybe as a middle-aged man, as an old man, are not the results of the things that you are doing at that particular point in time, but they are natural, automatic, God-ordained fruits for the things that you did in the days of seed. That is, there is seed time and there is harvest. And Solomon explained that there are the days of young manhood, which are characterized by impulses of the heart and the desires of the eyes. And what you do with the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes are the seeds that God will look at to produce fruit for you later in life. He said that God will bring to judgment all the things that you do, even though they are done in secret. And his emphasis was on those things that are done in secret. That Jesus said that the things that are done in secret are rewarded by God openly. That what your life will be like openly by the time you are an old man, by the time you are in your middle ages, is being decided today. And that's why we're discussing building a great future today. Now, in this series that, of building a great future today, there are a number of things that we have been examining, and we said we yet examine as the real seeds that matter. Because you have to understand that in life, not everything has the same weight. The Bible says the things that are highly esteemed before men, before God, they are lightly esteemed. And since God is the judge of all men, let me emphasize that again. God is the judge. It is how God assesses your works that determines whether you will be great or you will be poor tomorrow. It is not how your neighbors assess it. It is not how your community thinks of you. Now listen, the kingdoms of men, the Bible says, belongs to God, and he's the one that gives them over to whomsoever he wishes. Which means that if you're not pleasing to God and your whole village, your whole state, or indeed the whole nation is pleased with you, you still will not reap a good reward as an old man. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, men who were very popular when they were in secondary school, some of them are very poor as old men. There is a man I see once in a while begging for money. And when he wants to beg, he reminds you of what he used to be. He tries to use that to identify himself. Because those days, he was a popular man. But today, he's a begging man. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, the fact that people liked him and he was popular does not mean that God will reward him openly with good as an old man. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? That is, God is the judge of all men. It is what you do in the eyes of God that matters. I just can't get away from this, because you see, a lot of people, they use all kinds of crooked methods to get money. Why? Because they want to appear good in the eyes of people. Some of them will even try to justify what they are doing, that they are looking for this money to be able to help people. They want to look for this money to be able to help their father, help their relations, help their community. But they are going about it in a crooked means. Now, God is saying that in my eyes, what is highly esteemed before men is lightly esteemed. And since I'm the judge of all men, men will be surprised that though it appeared that you sowed good seeds, but as far as I, God, am concerned, your seeds were bad. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make there? That is, before men, you appeared good, but in my eyes, you were bad. And I'm the one that will reward you, not the people that are men like you. Do you understand my point? And that's what the Bible means when it says that the kingdoms of men belong to God, and he gives them to whomsoever he wishes. And that's why Jesus explained that when you want to do anything, go into your closet and do it. He was speaking about prayer. He said, "Your heavenly Father that sees in secret is the one that will reward openly." Now let me explain that again. God sees everything you do. He sees the very thoughts of your heart. He knows the motivation behind the things that you are doing. And if your motivation is wrong by his judgment,
you will receive no good reward. And what I'm saying from there is, again, is that whatever you are doing in life, always ask yourself a question. How is it that God is assessing this thing that I am doing? It is not what people think about it. Are you getting what the point I'm trying to make here? It is not what people think about it. Get that point very, very clear. God is the one who is judge. If he says it is bad, no matter how popular the thing is, it is bad and you will die in poverty. You understand my emphasis here? That's why Paul said that what we are doing in life is ordering our life in a manner that is pleasing to God. Now, this point is emphasized by the life of Jotham. If you read from 2 Chronicles chapter 27, verse 6, the Bible says, "So Jotham became mighty because he ordered his ways before the Lord his God." Now, one thing I want to note here is this. He was not trying to please men. Listen to this. That was what killed Saul, the king of Israel. Every time Samuel came up to Saul to challenge him concerning what he had done in disobeying the commandments of God, Saul never said, "I forgot that was what you said, Samuel." He said that the people were departing away from me, therefore I disobeyed God. When he said, "Why did you not destroy all the Amalekites like I commanded you to?" He said it was the people. The emphasis of Saul was the people. And the Bible says the judgment of God for that was that that day the kingdom of Israel was taken away from him. And the spirit of madness came upon him. That kingdom passed over to another man who was pleasing to God. The Bible says very clearly concerning David. He said, "I have found in David a man after my own heart who will do all my desires." Are you getting what I'm saying here? That's why we are reading here in 2 Chronicles 27 verse 6 that the reason why Jotham became mighty was because he ordered his ways before the Lord his God. So whatever you are doing in life, ensure one thing, that you are ordering your ways before the Lord your God. Now those are the things we have been saying. So we said that there are three important seeds. That's why I digressed into that. That these seeds before God, they are the things that really count when we are talking about preparing for your future. We said life has seed time. And the period in which you are really looking for good in life, what you will be experiencing are the automatic fruits for the seed that you sowed. So it is important you sow the right seed. We said there are three important seeds that a man must sow in life, that a woman must sow in the period of seed time. We said there is faith, most importantly. Faith is the most important seed that you sow. And the second and third seeds are actually products of faith. We said there are works that come out of the things that you believe, and then there are the words that you speak as a result of the things that you believe. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say here. We have explained that what you really believe in life, what you are convinced and persuaded about, will eventually come to you. That there is what the Bible calls double-mindedness. There are men who are laboring, trying their best to earn enough money to become successful and all that. But the Bible says clearly that they are double-minded. You say, why? That despite the fact that they are trying, in reality, they have said in their heart that good can never come to me in this nation. Do you understand what I'm going to say? That is, he wakes up in the morning, goes about his business. But there is an underlying force in his heart which says that good does not exist here. So no matter how hard he tries, good doesn't come forth. Because life is spiritual. Life is not primarily physical. The things that really control this life are found in the realm of the spirit. That's why the Bible says that by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things that are seen were not made out of the things that are visible. That is, what will be seen in your life will not come out of things that we can see. Like I always say, it will not come out of your degrees, it will not come out of your connection, it will not come out of your labor. It will come out primarily out of your faith, your attitude towards life. We've discussed that extensively. Now, that's the foundation for the things that we've said about the works that you will do and the words that you will speak. Now, the words will come to that much later. But right now, we are still on the issue of works. That is, the things that you are doing now, despite the fact that it's not appreciated by men, if it is the right thing, you will get reward for it later in life. Now, it's very important we understand this. Let me just quickly go over something we said in previous times about the remedy that God has for the works that we did in the past that were bad. I just need to emphasize at this particular point in time that is the power in the blood of Jesus. Listen to this. The blood of Jesus was not designed by God to be used to fight enemies. It was designed for the purification of the hearts of the people. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Because a lot of us, what we emphasize on all the time is against my enemies, the blood of Jesus. When I'm traveling, I sanctify the road and I anoint the road with the blood of Jesus. Whatever I want to do, I cover it with the blood of Jesus. Now, I'm not saying those things are wrong, but I want us to get the priorities straight. In the eyes of God, in God's eternal purpose, the primary plan, the primary purpose for the blood of Jesus was for purification of the hearts and the lives of the people that believe in him. Now, listen to this. Satan, Jesus said that the prince of this world is coming, but it has nothing in me. That is, sin and the wrong works that we have done in life are the things that Satan sees in the lives of people, and he has something in them. That's why the Bible says that by through one man, sin entered into the world, and death, and this death passed on to every man that sinned. That is, without a man sinning, the death cannot pass on to him. And he said that the one that has the power of death is Satan. The devil. Are you getting what I'm going to say? That is the first thing that Satan looks for in the lives of people, to hold them in bondage so that they will not prosper in life. Because that is the meaning of the word death. Death does not mean you just fall down and die. That is the ultimate in death. But before this physical death, there are many things. There is death of business, there's death of health, there is death of marriage, there is death in your hope and your aspirations in life. There is death as people go to their works and they come back. They are complaining all the time, they plant and they don't get good fruits for their labors. These are the effects of death, and that's what God was telling Adam, that the earth will no longer bring forth increase, fruit for you. That is, death has come upon this earth. Are you getting what I'm going to say here? Now, what Satan does is to enforce that power of death on the lives of the people that are subject to him. What does the blood of Jesus do? It comes to wipe away the sin of the people. Are you getting what I'm going to say here? That the blood of Jesus does your life in this fashion. It cleanses it so much that Satan will have nowhere to stay in you. That was why we discussed extensively for about 4 episodes about breaking the curses in your life. That the foundation for the breaking of curses is faith in the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ. When you have believed in that, the sins of your ancestors and your own sins are wiped away. But God is saying, before you can now step into a brilliant future, listen to this, there are things that I want you to start doing as seeds that will activate the blessing that Jesus Christ has brought into this earth. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? Let me explain this very clearly. Your life will be productive. You do not have enough. I need to drum this one in. You don't have enough disadvantages in life to stop you from prospering if God is blessing you. You follow what I'm saying? That is, you live in Nigeria does not mean anything. You are not well educated does not mean anything. All your life you wanted to study this particular course. You wanted to be an engineer. And you did jam 4 times. Finally, you have to settle for another course. Listen to me. It does not mean you will not get to where God planned for you to get to. My uncle was almost made minister. Oh, now he didn't get it. What's going to happen to me? If my uncle had been appointed into that office, listen, your life has not been disadvantaged in any form as a result of that. This is important we get very, very clearly. God is God and not your nation, not your uncle, not the course you studied in school, not the people that your father know. If God wants to bless you, you are not hindered in any form by all your perceived disadvantages. Do you understand my point? But God is saying, before I can bring you to the place of blessing, there are things I want you to begin to do. Not because it is your labor that will bring you to places, but because I want you to cooperate with what I want to do in life. There's a scripture I want to read that will emphasize that. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. If you read verse 1, it says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, when he was talking about these promises, he was talking about things that were recorded in the verses preceding that, in the last part of chapter 6. He was saying that what harmony has Christ with Belial, or what has the believer in common with an unbeliever, or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Talking about those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, God has said, I will dwell in you, I walk among you, I'm paraphrasing now, I will be your God and you shall be my people. Let me emphasize again the meaning of the word, I will be your God. When we say God, it's not just a name. It's a position that somebody occupies in your life. When God said, I will be your God, that is, it's possible for you to have another God, but you have chosen me to be your God. Who is a God? A God is a person who supplies your needs. Are you getting my point? He's the one that you serve that delivers you out of trouble. He said, thou shalt serve the Lord thy God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water. And this is the Almighty God now speaking, that I will dwell with you and be your God. That is, if I dwell with you and I am your God, it is my responsibility to take care of you at all times. That anything you are aspiring for in life becomes my responsibility. Are you getting the point? He now said, because of that, come out from amongst them and be separate. Listen to this. That is, don't walk in life like those that don't know me as God. Are you following the point? That is, don't do your business like those that don't know me as God. Come out from amongst them and be separate. Don't be a crook like everybody else. The other day, my wife was talking to me about something. She was talking to somebody who was in office as a government official who happened to be a Christian. And all this person was talking about is how she's not getting enough money to eat. She's not being settled enough. And she came to ask me afterwards that, is it that being a government official absolves you from your responsibility and your character as a Christian? I said, no. Are you getting my point? That God is saying here, come out from their midst and be separate. He wasn't saying don't walk where unbelievers walk. No, that is, don't work in the same office. He's saying that if you are there, don't do things the way everybody would do it. One of the things I referred to last time, which is very common amongst people, is this one that you work in an office and it's as if your boss is your enemy. If your child is sick, it is because your boss didn't pay you enough. That's why you can't take care of your child. If you work for government, all your problems are because government is not paying you enough. So every time the people go to work, every time what they have to say is that this is not my father's business. Say, after all, this is not my father's business. That is all they ever say. Are you getting my point? But God says, this is my instruction to you today. Come out from amongst them and be separate. If you do your things in the godly fashion, then I will be your God. Now listen to this. God is not the God of everybody. That might surprise you. Because people don't understand something. There are two aspects to being God. There is an aspect that is from God. God looks and says, I am the one in control of everybody here. That is one. But there is another aspect in which the people look up and say, God, you are in charge of our lives and want to serve you. Then he said, I will be your God. Are you getting the point I'm making there? What he was saying is that, then when you are in trouble, I will be the one to deliver you. But if you don't come from amongst them and be separate, what you are saying is that when you are in trouble, your own schemes, your own hand, your own connections have to deliver you. But the time will come, he says, when your trouble will be that far beyond which any man can help. Do you follow my point? That's why a lot of people, it's only when they get into the depths of adversity that they remember God. Because they now realize that the gods that they have been serving all their lives have not been the true God. What does it mean to be the true God? To be the one that can increase a man when the whole economy around him is decreasing. Are you getting my point? For your son to die, and after 3 days, you raise him up again from the dead. Then you are the true God. you are following the point I'm going to make. God says, I am God. I can do all of these things. He said, but before I can do it, you must cleanse yourself of all defilement. A lot of people who go around are not ready to purge themselves of all defilement. Are you getting what I'm going to say? There are people who are chronic adulterers who will not cease to anoint their premises with oil. I feel like correcting a few people listening to me today. If you are an adulterer, that is the reason why your business has been going down. That is why you have not been promoted in your office. Think about that. I have seen people who do not honor anybody. They don't honor God. Yet they will not cease to pray when they are in trouble. Some people think God only exists for the time of trouble. But that is not true. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. That is the reason why I shall not want. What does it mean for the Lord to be my shepherd? That is, I follow him all the time. I don't follow him only when a lion is coming. Then I run and say, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The shepherd will say, where were you all this while? Are you getting my point? He said, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. David said, it's only when I'm following him. It is not when I am hungry that I remember that he's God. I don't know why every day I keep on talking to men. I don't want to look for a wife. The integrity with which you work with young women today is what will decide whether you will get a good wife or not. It's not a letter to your mother in the village. Are you getting what I'm going to say? Let me say this to you again. Marrying a small girl from a village does not guarantee a happy life. Wickedness is in the heart. It is not a product of exposure. It is not a product of age. You are following the point I'm making? It is very, very important. Listen, young girls, it is not how you dress or how you can seduce a man that will get you a good husband. It is not how you pray loud in church. Are you following my point? God said, I can give you a good husband. The Bible says that houses and riches are from the fathers, but the prudent wife is from the Lord. Paul says, seeing that we have these promises, first thing we do is to cleanse ourselves of all defilement of flesh and spirit, without which we cannot experience the blessing of God. Listen, the calamity, that is the economic problems in a nation, is not the reason why you are down. Let me say that to you again. Do you know why? Blessing is not tied to places. Blessing is tied to God being inside you and conferring you with a blessing. Like the Archbishop used to say, the lizard in Nigeria will not become an alligator in America. That's a fact of life. Because people think that you can get blessing by geographical location. God said you get blessing by cleansing yourself of defilement. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make here? Listen, if you are in trouble, it is not time to start running up and down. It is time to go and say, where is God my maker? Are you getting my principle here? If you say, where is God my maker? Then God will come to you and show you what you are not doing correctly, which has been hindering the blessings of God in your life. A lot of people who claim to be Christians or who claim to believe in God, believing that that will get them blessing, they don't understand something. That what downloads the blessings of God after you have cried out to him is this cleansing of all defilement. What God gives you first, this is the point I want to get to, is a promise. Like I've said again and again, the witch in the life of one who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ is his own person. God said, that is the only person that can hinder my blessings from coming to you. He said, if you don't want that to happen, what do you do every day? You cleanse yourself of all defilement of flesh and spirit. In fact, this comes back again to the matter of faith. Two things here. Faith is that cleansing of the spirit. Are you getting my point? And your works is the cleansing of the flesh. you understand the principle there? That is, what is your heart attitude? When the Bible uses the word spirit, it's talking about your motivations in life. Are you getting my point? What is your thought pattern? How are you relating with life? Are you a beggar, a giver, or a taker? Are you understanding my point? Beggars are those who believe that everything around owes them. The nation owes me. The government owes me. My uncle owes me. My father owes me. The reason why I've not done well is because my father refused to use his connection. He said, my father should have phoned his friend when I needed a job. No, your father understood life. Therefore, he refused to phone anybody. He said, I understand that the way you get a result is the way you will maintain it. If I phone people to start you up in life, I will keep on phoning them to sustain you in life. And when I have died, who's going to make calls for you? He said, get up your loins and be a man. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, if you get up before God and say, God, if you don't bless me, I'm not moving. God said, then I will be your God. Then I will give you promises. Because of that promise, you cleanse yourselves every day of all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Remember what we said? It is God's assessment of your works that matters. It is not the assessment of the people around you. Are you getting my point? What I don't understand about people sometimes is that a man is a thief. He knows he's a thief. And he knows people around know he's a thief. And he drives a car born out of theft. And he feels like he's a good man. The guy is signing up for sudden death. You don't get the point. David said, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tent of iniquity. Look, those things are very practical. That is, if I don't have a house because I refuse to steal, I prefer it. Let me go and be sleeping in the doors of the church. That it is better, because he understood that, like Jeremiah said in Lamentations chapter 3, he said, it is good for a young man to bear his burden the days of his youth. He said, peradventure, God will show mercy. What was he saying there? That if I dwell in the tents of iniquity, God will not show me mercy. But if I dwell in suffering as a doorkeeper in the house of God, then I understand one thing. When the mercies of God will come, he will lift me up, I will become king. That's what he was saying. That's why David, listen, was a shepherd. And God sought him out from being a shepherd and made him king. Actually, what I wanted to talk about today, which we will end with and continue on next time, is that issue of God seeking you out at the appropriate time. Listen to me. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro the whole earth, looking for how he will show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards him. What does that mean? Throughout the whole earth, it crosses from New York to Sahara Desert. Are you getting my point? It crosses from one village to the other city. The eye of God runs throughout the whole earth. He checks the whole of the oceans down to the mountains. Wherever the man is, I can bring him out and bless him. That's what God is saying. People have said things like, if you want to make it, you have to go to Lagos. If you want to make it, you have to go to Port Harcourt. That is where the money is. They have forgotten that God can come to a village and pick a school teacher that is there and bless him. Are you getting my point? The things happening around in this nation today should even let you know that it is not the connected that's necessarily lifted. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? That is, God is not looking for people who are in certain places. He's looking for people whose hearts are in certain conditions. And at that particular point in time, when everything is ready, he will bring them out from wherever they are. I'm explaining something here. Don't think the reason why you did not get a good husband is because you did not move to a big city. Because that's very common with women. They think that, no, if you don't leave this town, you won't find men. Who told you? Listen, it is not where you are right now that's the reason why you are not being blessed. People say, you will have made it if you have left the village. Listen, I'm not saying you shouldn't leave the village. But listen to me, going to the city, if you're not a blessed man, will just worsen your condition. One thing I always used to say those days, when I wanted to leave Lagos and come to Enugu here, people told me that, money's in Lagos. I said, are you people blind? Which other town in Nigeria do you see men who are not mentally ill sleeping in the open? Lagos is a place where you see a man fully dressed, driving around. He's not going anywhere. He has no house to go. He has a car. He has no house to go. They drive to the airport and go and wait for somebody who is not visiting. He goes to the driver lounge and goes to sit down there. Why? He has no house to go. Yet, he's in Lagos. I'm using to explain the point. That it is a blessing of God that maketh a man rich. It is not his geographical location. I'm talking about the matter of patience. I'm introducing it today. I'll continue next time. Don't miss next episode of teaching. Patience means that you continue to do what God said you should do and stay in the place where you are. Patience means you continue to walk in a manner pleasing to God and stay in the place where you are and do as occasion serves you. Gideon said, what I mean is this. If you are walking somewhere and a bigger job opens and you prefer the bigger job, apply for it. There's no sin in that. But don't think that once I have left Amechi and I've come to Enugu, then I'm made. Listen, the poverty that you have never seen before is waiting for you. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? There are people, look, I've seen people say, I can't be a teacher. There are a lot of times I see young men. Which work do you do? I'm not working yet. Why not? He said, I'm just teaching. I said, you don't think that is work? Why? Because somebody lied to him that teachers don't make money. That they don't become rich. Listen to me, I am a teacher. It's a most fulfilling job in life, seeing the power of your words transform the lives of people. Do you get my point? Listen, a primary school teacher today can be the president of a university tomorrow. And that is not a joke. Are you hearing what I'm saying? A primary school teacher today will own the biggest and best hospitals in Nigeria. Listen to what I'm saying. When God looks at his heart and says, this one is good. So what is patience? We read from Hebrews chapter 6 verse 12. It said, what inherits the promises are two things. Faith and patience. We have talked about faith. And I'm talking about patience. Patience means I have discovered what is right and I will not stop doing it until my blessing comes. That's the meaning of the word patience. I will continue on that matter of patience next time. Patience is what you do between the seed time and the harvest. Patience is not passive. The things of God usually are not passive. That is when the Bible says, wait on the Lord. He's saying, do the work of waiting. In life, apart from seasons, there are measures. And until you feel a particular measure in a particular season, you don't move into the next. There are things that God wants to accomplish in your life before he brings forth your harvest. And for you to reach that point, you have to continue doing the things that you know to do that is right without running about looking for your own blessing by your own hands. Listen, God has given everybody a good assignment for a season. You don't negotiate with God with your righteous works. You do it absolutely in faith, knowing that when he decides that your clouds are full, when he decides that your due season has come, he will pour blessing upon you.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.